Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's...
Hey, Philip. Good evening to you. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Bill?
You know, I want to congratulate you. I understand you've got a new project in the wind.
Yeah.
And you congratulate me. Say, Bill, congratulations. You got a project.
Wait. Bill, congratulations. We got a new project.
Don't make a big deal out of it. We'll talk about that later. We want to say hello to everybody out there tonight. I wish everybody across America could be this type of weather. I have my light Levi jacket on. I have a polo shirt. It actually says Cal Diego Veterans Program, Paralyzed Veterans. I work a lot of vets an awful lot. So polo shirt and a light Levi jacket to me, and that's how I came down to Phil's place. I really wish everybody could enjoy this weather, I was saying.
Same thing on the way home. You know, in fact, Bill, I scheduled an appointment Saturday.
So, lobotomy?
No, Steve can change out my tires. Going through tires every 6-7 weeks, front and rear.
Well, you live here. A, it's a long way to point B.
I know.
And from point B back to point A, you got a long way to go.
I know.
You ever thought about maybe taking the train?
No.
How about taking
about
the bus?
I thought about buying some stock in fucking Dunlop, though.
Hey, maybe something.
I called today. I talked to Kyle. I said, hey, you know, I'm going 3 oil changes to a set of tires.
Well, that's pretty damn decent then. Suppose you're doing 3,000 miles, but you're doing 2,500 new oil changes.
No, I'm doing 3,000.
3,000, 369, so, you know, 9,000 miles. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, you're on the freeway just really
abusing
your tires. And then when we go on our trips and all that, add that into it. So, you know, I'd say 8,000 is good. 9,000 is pretty lucky.
Yeah. And usually it's 2-1.
Yeah. 2-1
front tire.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I change them both at the same time.
Why not?
The only reason I do that is it's a safety reason.
Yeah.
Because you know how we ride.
And you know, I hope other shops do this. My brother Mike and I own Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. What a cheap commercial that one was in there. I snuck it in there. A lot of times we take the used tires and I have to give them up to the state and has to be recorded where my tires go. The government controls all of that.
Yep.
When I do oil changes, I have to hire an agency to come in and take all of my oil away.
They have to report to the government.
And they have to report everything.
They give you a paper to show the government when they come in to fucking find
you. And then I have every single battery that I replace and I receive, I'm accountable for every single battery.
That's correct.
Every single tire and every drop of oil. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Same thing when that guy comes in from the EPA to check your parts washer, too.
I understand everybody's got a job. I understand that the state needs money, but it's so difficult.
And they don't come through the front door. They sneak in the back.
It's so difficult to start a business in California. If I had known then what I know now, I probably would have gone to work for somebody else. I could stay with the county.
Or if you knew when the cops were up across the street in the storage place, videotaping everything for 10 years.
10 years my shop was videotaped.
They could have just gave you the money and you'd have
half the money. I stayed home. Half the money.
Home or went to Carlsbad.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Stacey?
I think that, you know, they got their noses in everything. Sky high, don't you think?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, every battery, every drop of oil, every tire, that's a lot of paperwork for you.
Yeah. Just like when they come walking in and do a spot check. You know, every once in a while, you'll have a guy come in, clean-cut guy or whatever, older guy, stand at the counter. So, Mr. Kennedy, how do I join a motorcycle club? So, Mr. Kennedy, can you tell me where a red and white clubhouse is? Mr. Kennedy, can you tell me of any events the Red and White are having so I can go to a...
And meet them.
And meet them. Or whatever, or the other club, the Black and White Club, same
mm-hmm.
thing. Like, we don't know, you know, they play, they think we're dumb. We don't know who they are. We know who they are.
And if they have a question to the Red and White, the Black and White, they should just go ask
those
people.
Just go ask that people.
Why do you want me to ask these questions with that?
Just like that guy that rolled up on that fat boy, remember? And he
wanted
to know how to start a... Oceanside Police Department officer
mm-hmm.
rolled up to the front of the shop, said he heard a noise in his bike. Then the next day, or later that day, I gave him one of my cards, and then the first thing out of his mouth was, well, hey, how do I start a club? Hey, go on my website, you can see. Well, no, I ain't telling you shit. And then what, 2 days later, they tell you they were banned from coming over there?
We have, it may be just my observation, but it seems to me that nobody's prospecting for a club anymore because everybody's just starting their own club.
Right.
You know, I'll be the run up in the mountains this weekend. I don't know if your schedule permits that, but I'll see so many new clubs up there. I'm talking about the Apollo, the Indian run up there.
Uh-huh.
New clubs. I haven't seen a prospect patch in so long. I don't know.
No, but we're seeing sure a lot.
I did yesterday.
We're seeing a lot of three-piece patches, too.
Yeah.
I seen one yesterday.
What club was that?
Ladies
and gentlemen, before we continue, we have a special guest tonight. Would you tell us who you are and where you're from, please?
I'm the mystery individual.
The mystery individual.
But the blues fighter.
She's the individual that keeps Bill in check. She's
hey,
a good woman. We respect her. We respect her. She's a good woman.
Did you say
putting
Phil or Bill? Or both.
Wow, does she gonna babysit the two of you? Are you that much trouble together? Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
I thought just one, you, Phil.
No. Bill's a nice one. Bill's a troublemaker. Bill doesn't cause no trouble.
Ah, okay.
Just heard that, right?
Yeah.
She didn't hear it. Come do it again. Wait. You know how Tom Harmon on NCIS gives you that swat in the back of the head?
No,
yeah.
I haven't seen this show.
That's what she does.
Phil loves it. He gets all excited.
How many times a day you got to get a whack in the head there, Phil?
Every chance he gets, he's, you know.
Okay. He started enough shit.
He does this because he knows
he's leaving in a couple hours.
Yeah, well, you know. She has a wonderful smile, even then she turns.
What type of friend would he be if he didn't get involved with mischief? You know, I mean, he's got to like
bruises on him and all
so.
That.
As we were saying, I really
forgot where I was.
Well, the guy wanted to start a club.
Oh, yeah. They're coming in all the time and wanting to know if I would tell them how to start a motorcycle club. All they're trying to do, and again, I keep telling them, go to the Black and White Boys, go to the Red and White Boys. If this is something you want to do, go do it. Why would you come to me? Well, number one reason, I'm the oldest looking guy in California. That's why they come to me. And I've been around for 50 years. Phil's been around. But it's not our job to tell you how to start your club. We will point you in the right direction to hook up with another club. And I tell people, don't start a new club. Find an established club, join them, and learn the rules, right?
Yep.
Get schooled. There's nothing stupider than a prospect that hasn't been schooled right. And I don't blame the prospects. I blame the club for that.
Yeah.
Whoever his sponsor is and whoever the club is, if you have prospects out there and they don't know what they're doing, that's only half the problem.
Well, that's,
you should have taught them all
like
that. Yeah.
That's just like the other day when I was sitting on that fucking diner by the front door, and that prospect from the Booze Fighters came in, and I just happened to be wearing my vest.
Yeah.
He about shit in his pants.
Well, that is correct.
Yeah.
But you're not exactly a warm, welcome person that people walk up to and say, how do you do? My name is Sam. What's your name? You don't really give up those vibes, you know?
No.
Nothing about you that says, hey there, I'm the ambassador. No.
That's you. You're just smoozer. You got the doctor hanging on the wall over there.
Yeah, but you're the one who gets into all the trouble. You get us into all the trouble.
Did he say the doctor papers were on the wall? Is that what you said?
He's got a doctor in smoozology hanging on the wall.
And presented to me, yes.
We haven't heard Dr. Smooth Love in a long time. Maybe he should, like, go through this ritual that we haven't heard.
No, we're not talking about Dr. Love. Listen to what I'm going to say. A doctorate of smoothology.
Yes, and you have to be smooth to talk about love. So
there we go. I like the way you're thinking, little girl.
All right.
Yeah, we have clubs joining. And what I resent is, if you don't hang out with a bike club, if you don't get to know a bike club, you don't know the correct protocol. And that's where you make mistakes. And that's where I see some motorcycle club people get slapped in the head real fast. They're making mistakes and say, well, we didn't know. May I point this out to you? You should have known.
Yeah.
So find an established motorcycle club. Hang out with them. Prospect with them. Join the established motorcycle club. Make it easier on yourself.
That's right.
Why do you want to try to go uphill in both directions with the wind in your face? It's too difficult. Much too difficult. And that rocked me to prospect. I know why people say, oh, I don't want to prospect. I'll start my own club.
Yeah.
Well, you're missing a vital part. Prospecting, you get to know the motorcycle club. It's giving the club a chance to get to know you. If you don't make it, it's maybe because you didn't like the people.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't like you.
That's it.
But prospecting is something I think that is... I see it fewer and fewer every time I go out now. I see more and more new patches every time I go out.
That's correct.
We have got a... I don't want to talk about clubs too much tonight because, again, I'm not speaking to club people, so we don't want to get the, messy. But if you want to, I'll wrap it up with this. If you think about joining your own motorcycle club or starting your own motorcycle club, once again, I just want to say find a local club in the area you think you like. Hang out with them. Ride with them. Learn or be schooled correctly. A smart prospect is an asset.
Yep.
A dumb prospect is a liability.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be a liability when there's another bike club in there because all your brothers are there. Each club is only strong as its weakest link.
Do you remember when we were standing outside the hotel in Vegas with the entourage behind us? We had our personal bodyguards that day.
Oh, yeah. We had our own
personal bodyguards that day. They were watching everybody come up, shake our hands, hug, and all that stuff. And then that lady club came up.
Yeah.
They had the two prospects.
Right.
And you told me to take a picture of you and the other ladies, all the patch ladies, and the two prospects attacked me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was taking the picture.
So we'll whoop your ass.
And I said,
go hit him. He didn't want to cause
the
shit.
I said, your president just asked me to take pictures of all of you. I said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the back in the picture. And that one chunky brother.
That's hefty.
Yeah. She said, well, why do I need him back? Well, you're a prospect. You can't be in the picture, but they can see the top of your head.
That's right.
That really pissed her off.
Anybody prospecting should not be in any pictures. They should not be any magazines. They should not be in any newspapers.
Nope.
You're not part of the club.
Not yet.
When you put a patch on, but other than that, you need to step aside when your patch members are getting pictures taken and schmoozing. Yep. You do not need to get involved because you are not a member. And by the way, I like the way those two girls are going to whoop your ass. Now, that shows where, they didn't like you take pictures of their president.
Mm-hmm.
And these two women are going to just beat the bejeebies out of them. But you know what? I'm sure you would have held your own.
Yeah.
15 seconds, 30 seconds maybe. You'd done good. You'd have made me proud,
Oh. Oh, my! I have a vision right now. And I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's a vision.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the other day when you couldn't see.
Hey, now, them eye doctors and their drops, what are you going to do? They make your eyes go funky for a little while. I couldn't see nothing. It was terrible.
Uh-huh. Oh, somebody, good. Today at work, somebody asked me, say, man, does it seem like it's like Peyton Place around here? And two young guys said, what's that?
I said,
when you were a kid, did you watch the soap operas with your mom? And the kid goes, what do you mean? I said, well, this is like The Young and the Restless with As the World Turns.
Mm.
He didn't get it. I told him, call your mom when you get home and ask her about that. Peyton plays The Young and the Restless and As the World Turns.
You know, I got to tell you, there's a friend of mine out in Rancho Bernardo. He was a star on As the World Turns for years. He retired because of that show. Every time he calls it, he says it's As the Stomach Turns because he couldn't do that show much more. But he's retired on that money, so God bless that boy for that. Living in Rancho Bernardo, as you know, is a nice way to live.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
That's really
Victor uptown. Mature. I seen Victor Mature out there before he died. And the other guy was Burt Lancaster. They lived like a half a block away from each other.
Money, 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 money. The guy who invented Amarol is out there.
Yeah.
I sold him a motorcycle. Nice guy. His house, I thought, was a hotel. That's kind of scared me. You just live him.
Well, it might have been a bread and breakfast. You never
know. No. All him.
Yeah.
He sold out Amarol products, and he's just living there being happy.
So,
You go ahead first. Go ahead. Yeah.
When you heard, how did you think the show went last night, Stacey?
Well, the brief moment that I was there, because I wasn't there too long because I had other things I had to tend to, was really cool. The guy who was there from the show, the extra, I don't remember his name off the top.
Okay. Tommy Gunn.
He was fantastic with answering the questions with clarity, slowly, for you to understand what he was saying, for you to be able to listen. You know, I thought it was fantastic. It really was. It, you know, what a good way to start off, you know, your first show with the two of you. And I'm definitely going to be tuning into that next Wednesday, too, because I just, you know, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, it was. Did you see that when I brought those numbers up? It was 25,000 something, and then the next day was 26 something in the archives?
No, I didn't see that.
And once the show starts...
You can't see it. I get to see it. You can't see it. I get to see it. Once the show starts, it's on my studio wall. But once the show starts...
We'll be priming the pump by bringing guests on every week, but when the show starts, as we're saying, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Same thing like when I see the guys on the 25th of this month. It's going to be a crazy day up there, too.
Once we get the show started, I'm hoping the people that watch that show will be wanting to call in and offer their insight, and they're going to bring their suggestions in for the show and all that, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about...
I know you're thinking about something because you've got that blank look in your face.
Well, no, because I know who the MC is going to be, and I'm thinking of a way, and if we can get a poster. I gotta talk to the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know who I'm going to approach, and I got a batting order set up already.
Yeah.
And it'll all depend on their schedules because they're still filming parts of the show. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. But I got a batting order I'm going to hit when I hit.
Yeah, we should point out to everybody that it's many of the episodes have already been shot.
Yeah.
But no, we can talk about them. So when we say the very first episode's coming out in September, there are already 5, 6, 7 episodes into it. But it'll be the first time we, the public, get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited about that. We're talking about bringing some interesting guests in there. We certainly would love anybody out there to give us any suggestions. For example, who would be your favorite one you want us to talk to? Dear?
God, I can answer that right off the bat. The female population was on it.
Which one's that?
Would be Jax, the person who plays Jax. I mean, the females are just like gaga over him. And I'm one of them females. Don't get me wrong.
He's the nicest guy we met. We were up in Hollywood, Phil and I. Excuse me, with the East Rider Bike Show, Phil and I.
Well, before that, when we were up at Big Bear.
Yeah.
Season 2. Going into 3.
But I'm saying that when that women crowd attacked him, I think it was bigger at the East Rider Bike Show.
Yes.
You and I were talking to Emilio Rivera, the president of the Mayans on TV, and we're talking to Andy, who was the president of the Irish chapter, and Phil and I. We're having a nice conversation. Behind Jax comes in the building in the back. They announce over the PA system that Charlie is coming in the back, blah, 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 blah.
It was like a cattle call.
100 women came running for...
Ran, not on a fast walk or a stroll.
Ran.
I'm talking running.
And they ran right to us. They wanted me, and they wanted Phil, and they wanted Emilio, and they wanted Andy, and they went right up to us, and they went right around us like I was chopped liver.
Like we were standing there like a pole, just the water going around.
I'm lucky they didn't just knock me down and push me aside. No wonder I'm humble all the time. I get this deep emotional scarring on my body. I'm telling you, just his name, just mentioning his name in the PA system, the women went crazy. And he never had an attitude. He was the nice as could be. He would sign an autograph. He would take a picture. He must have been exhausted at the end of the day because that line actually, they formed a line.
Well, you know what, Bill? I'm going to tell you what. Yeah. That line started an hour before he got
there. That's right.
He actually stayed. He was supposed to leave at 6, and he actually stayed 2.5 extra hours just to make sure everybody in the line got up there.
That's cool.
And then, of course, when we got there, we had two guys that got us over to the other side where we could talk. I talked to him and got a picture with him.
I didn't see any line for the Phil and Bill show. Anybody could have came up and talked to us. We were right there.
Yeah.
No, we didn't have a booth.
No, we didn't.
We were just hanging out with our friends.
We didn't have a booth, and that happened to be the month I was Biker of the Quarter, and the guy had like 300 magazines on the table and handed me a pen to start signing autographs, and then said, charge $10. Charge shit.
Yeah. We actually, that same show, a friend of mine just came back from overseas, and his beautiful Russian-American wife were there. And he was just getting out of the Marine Corps, and I had asked Pete, I believe it was, or maybe it was, no, I'm sorry. Sorry, Pete. It was the small magazine, Southern California Motorcycle Guide.
Right.
What's his name? Can you remember?
Not off the top of my head.
Oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. I hope he's not listening to that. Anyway, I asked him to take a picture of my friend who just came back from overseas. He's going to be discharged from the military.
Oh, when you got him and his wife?
Yeah, the Russian. Yeah,
yeah. And then I got
and
him,
it was in
I
the magazine.
Him,
yeah,
and I gave him a picture, too.
And that was they got so jazzed that he came home and almost the weekend after we got him in the Easy Rider Bike Show and we got him in a magazine.
That was one of the ones that I hooked up.
Well, you want all the credit?
Because, no.
Go ahead. Take all the credit. It's all you.
Wait,
no, go ahead.
Remember when we took the picture?
He always does it.
Oh, my God.
Remember when you were on the right and I was on the left?
Right,
we took the picture and we thought that was the one that was going to go in the magazine.
Right.
And he put just them two in there.
Right.
Remember, we were a little miffed at because no, he made us pose and everything. He told everybody where to stand. And then Bill and I stepped out of the picture and then he clicked their picture and that's the one that ended up in the magazine, which was good anyway because
he's recently moved to Arizona now. He's trying to get his life. He's starting to go to MMI school to be a mechanic. So. I like it when we can help our military. He came back a little bit out of whack, and he and his very young wife are trying to, you know, make it work. So the fact that we were able to give him a little surprise, and we didn't tell him about it. I mean, he took the picture for the magazine, but he didn't think it would go in.
Right.
Bang.
Same thing when they wanted to know, you know, she wanted to get that one thing I got her, she wanted Charlie to sign it. And I told him where to go stand.
She wanted to get your thing? What did you say?
No, that...
She grabbed your thing?
No, that picture thing she had. Remember?
I know what you're talking about.
And she wanted
to start shitting the radio, you know.
So I told him where to go, and she ended up getting it signed, I guess. But we got another caller from 909.
909, will you tell us hello and tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please? 909-272. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Did you want to talk or just listen?
Or call us up and tell us you don't want to talk. We'll do it that too. No, we're in moot.
Okay.
All righty.
Yeah, we'll go back and see.
I assure you, your conversation to me would be more important and interesting than Philip and I talking, but okay.
We do have
a lovely lady, though, on 774 once again back. Is 909 sneaking in or is he out? Hold.
I just muted him again.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they wanted to just listen to
it. 909-272, you're welcome to listen or speak. So we'll get back to the lovely lady in 774-627. Are you still with us here?
Of course I am. I wouldn't go anywhere. I love this show. But
I just want to say
two things. One, when the two of you were just bickering back and forth, you reminded me of the two old men that used to play on the Muppet Show. You know the two guys that were up in the corner?
Here we go.
Yes, I do.
That's what you two just sounded like going back and forth there. It was funny. But the second thing
this
I want to say
is...
This
can go on anywhere. We can do this in the middle of a show. We can be in downtown, get the bike shows. We just start arguing, so what the hell?
Is having Emilio call back in, because Emilio has done this show, and he's been fantastic. He's so cordial and courteous, and, you know, he's another one that talks clear, talks smooth. You can understand what's going on. You know, he takes his time with answering questions, and he's another all-around fantastic person.
Well, we're gonna get.
You're trying to work the whole lineup.
I got the batting order. Yeah, I got the batting order.
What did you tell me that the? Remember
I'm
the
going.
Chief,
I'm going the hardest first.
Yeah, the chief of police, the one that's retired. He's supposed to be a great, great host guest.
Dayton Kelly.
Great, yeah, that may be a lot of fun with that, too.
He's a natural comedian,
that's what they say. You know, I should tell you that, in case you don't know, Emilio does a lot of charity softball games, baseball games. He is a natural athlete. Some people get there and they just whiff the ball around. That boy can put the ball out of the park. He's hard running, keeps himself in good shape. You run Emilio, he holds his own pretty darn well, and he's a gentleman.
Yeah.
A gentleman always with that.
But like any of us, he can go to the dark side real quick.
Emilio, he's from the street. His family is still from the street.
Yeah.
He will not leave his family. Yeah, he could have pulled them all out. They're not going to pull out there. So that speaks well for him. He doesn't need to have bodyguards around him. In fact, everywhere we're together, he always walks up, "Hey, guys, how we doing?" like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he certainly could be a lot more big. Now, let me tell you something. When Philip gets big, he's going to have bodyguards around. He's going to have all that shit going on.
Oh.
But, you know, he's going to dump me for some, you know, big boob woman. You know, that's all. That's it. You know, that's the way it goes, you know.
You can go back and find them two prospects, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, I don't remember when. That's why, by the way, Philip and I enjoy riding so much together, because I can't hear him talk.
I thought
the art of writing was so, you know, you could drown out the world around you and not have somebody, you know, running their jaw at you.
See, Philip gets these ideas all the time. He's really quite creative, and he just wants to share them with me whenever he gets these ideas.
You know, I'm
not always interested.
You know, right now, Bill, the Australia, Russia, Poland, France, South Korea, Romania, and Singapore, they're enjoying the show, too.
South Korea, good for you people in there. I know it's a rough call.
It's the same thing with the Netherlands, Indonesia, Malaysia, France, and Germany.
None of my Chinese people here anymore, are they?
They usually come in on Tuesdays.
Okay.
Tuesdays, and there was one guy last night from China.
We have some of the countries that, you know, we're not supposed to be on. It's not that we're illegal. They don't want any type of Western broadcasting. And the people that listen to us, they can be trilingual. Trilingual? What the hell am I? Triangled.
Triangular.
That's not the word I was
thinking.
Triangular. That's much better word. Thank you. So that their government is actually looking for people that listen to this free broadcasting, and these people will be put in prison for listening to us. I ask everybody to be very careful. Nothing Philip and I have to say is more important than you keeping your family together. So, but we thank you, the fact that you're bold enough to want to listen to us. I've been speaking to a lot of Chinese people. They want democracy.
Yeah.
They're tired of this communist stuff. It ain't working. They want what we have.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years before communism in China breaks, they think. But they think, be able in America to say what you want, do what you want, not go to jail for it, that's amazing. And we worry about our friends there in Egypt. God Almighty. This is a messed up world, boys and girls. If you're a little bit upset with your life right now, you turn on that television set, and I'm telling you, there's so many people that are so worse off than we are.
You know, Bill, and one of the top ten news items today was, Coors Light may have to defend its cold can credit. They're saying, you know, because they want them to prove that they have the world's most refreshing can.
Oh.
They sent it to the Federal Trade Commission.
You know, that stuff like that, it's a waste of money. Leave them alone, for God's sakes. If those mountains turn blue, it's cold, break it.
Yeah, but you know why? Call it, and basically what they did, they said, call it a Cold War.
Cold War.
wants Anheuser-Busch wants its rival Miller Coors to prove it claims it makes its Coors Light ads about how it keeps its beers cold. But in the end, Budweiser Brewer filed a complaint to the advertising industry's self-regulatory unit, the FTC, that Coors Light's new can was somehow technologically superior to other beer cans and provides a more refreshing beverage experience. I don't know, man. It's been so long, I can tell you what a beer tastes like. I don't know. You remember what a beer tastes like?
Because of my Mexican adventures, I'm quite familiar with more of the Mexican beers, Tecate, Corona. But a Corona with a good chunk of lime in it, ice cold, that was pretty good. I got to admit that. I can't recall the taste right now because both you and I have given that stuff up there. It's we paid too high a price over the course of years for that liberty with that.
You know, and the other one was the new $100 bills got delayed again. They're going to make them a different way because they're so easy to counterfeit. And then the other one, the number two one, was how violence in Egypt hurts Americans.
No, why do we keep giving these people money?
I know.
Why are we helping these people out? I don't, you know what?
Well, you know, it's
they give how much? $1.5
billion
annually to Egypt. That's what we're giving them to.
They're calling in, the main thing was they were calling into question the aid dollars Congress keeps sending to Cairo and raises huge issues for global trade and oil prices. You know, it basically, why the fuck are we doing that? Why don't we just use the money here? We got Marines, Army, Navy,
we got families in Tennessee,
veterans,
we got West Virginia, we got
living
families
in their cars,
and
living in a church parking lot.
Well, let's just talk
close.
We got families in Los Angeles.
We got families in
for
Oceanside.
God's sakes, you know.
We got guys on active duty that can't afford to feed their kids. Mm-hmm. What the fuck does that tell you?
I'm up at Walmart. I see part-time. I see military guys working part-time at Walmart, Kmart.
Because they can't make it here.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is because anywhere that there's a military town.
Yeah. Cheap labor.
Cheap labor.
So they do take advantage of us.
Yeah.
These big corporations.
Same thing
Walmart.
Same thing with the people that move to California and don't get a job. They get Section 8 housing. They get food stamps. They get a welfare check. They get a cell phone. They get free Medi-Cal. What are we working for?
That's why I'm irritated, because I am working, and I'm part of the program in there, and those of us that work take care of our family. We're taking care of a lot of families.
Well, you heard about what the Seattle police are doing now, right?
No, I haven't.
They're gonna distribute Doritos at a pot rally. Knowing what stoners will pay attention to, the department is already including reminders with the snacks about the city's marijuana rules. So basically,
congratulations.
Seattle's gonna give munchies out at the pot rally. What do you think of that, Stacy?
Say that again.
Seattle police are gonna distribute Doritos at a pot rally.
Are you kidding me?
Bill.
Yeah, they're going through right now, knowing that stoners will pay attention to, the government's going to give reminders with the snacks about the city's marijuana rules. So here's a new program.
Yep.
Puff, puff, pass, chop, chop, chop. Puff, puff, pass, chop, chop. Doritos. Oh, my God. Well, you know, I give Seattle police some kudos for that. If they...
Well, that's only because they changed their pot laws.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to say this here, and we're arresting people for pot. You know, if they're not committing any physical crime, if they don't have any weapons, if they're just picked up with some pot, it's not like a pound in them or something like that.
No, they're,
we're wasting,
in California, they're legally allowed to carry 3 ounces.
Yeah. Well, what are we wasting our time?
And if it's any more than that, it's like a traffic ticket.
Yeah. If you're working a job and they pick you up some pot, give you a ticket and let you go, for God's sakes, you know.
But, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. Remember they were stopping the cars looking for seed?
Yeah.
That's it, man. Arrest you. You for Pete's sakes.
You were going to jail for one. They were arresting people for one seed, Stacey.
Yeah. Going through the cars, and because some people would forget about checking the gas, right?
Yeah, and then you had to register as a drug offender and all kinds
offender.
Of shit. You had to go to special classes. You had to spend money. By the time you got done, after they got done with you, you spent $20,000 for a marijuana seed in your car.
Yeah. That's lawyers, that's those programs you got to do, blah, 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 and crap and stuff like that.
Same thing if they find a baggie in your car.
I'm not saying I'm I'm not saying I'm pro pot or against pot. I'm saying that we have to take a good look at this person getting a ticket and maybe screwing his or her life up. And if they're having a job, they can lose the job. Let's keep these people working that are working and just give them a fine. I don't have a big problem with
that. Ain't gonna happen. You know, the 585 people that should be in the next layoff should be Congress and the Senate.
I agree with that.
There should be, you know, I mean, with the president, you have time constrictions, you know, 2 4-year terms. They should lay down some type of guide rules to some of these Congress people that have been sitting there forever and not doing shit about shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing needs to be revamped, and it boils down to the people we vote in. You know, the society is picking these people to stay forever in Congress, and it's like they really need to get a grip on, you know, what's going on in this world and really reevaluate, you know, the people they're putting in these political positions to advocate for them.
Yeah. We have a caller that wants to answer about that, 970-302. You want to jump up and say something and comment what she's talking about or what we're talking about? First, tell us who
you
are.
Bill, I'm the psychologist, the horse guy in Greeley.
Oh, hey.
What's up, man?
You want to tell us Greeley? In what state is that, sir?
Colorado.
I want everybody to hear about it. He's probably sitting in a canoe talking to us on a cell phone over there. I'm sitting here talking to you on my cell phone.
Just calling in to report on how the Wounded Human Project is going, and our poker run is going that we're going to have on October 5th.
Yeah, I
was with
that
you guys a couple weeks ago, and I think you got all my stuff on your blog. And
that's
and,
correct.
We've been progressing pretty nicely.
I do like to stop you for a second. Would you give us a little thumbnail rehash on what the connection you have with the horses and the vets? Because not everybody picked up that program. So give us a little thumbnail kick what you're doing, buddy, okay?
Sure. Basically, we're doing equine therapy is what it amounts to. What we found out, what I've discovered is that the horses make an incredible connection with people that have PTSD and depression, anxiety, substance abuse, etc., and it allows them to figure out ways to change their behavior, to find out really that they're loved, is what it boils down to, you know, which is at the root of the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
I think last time we talked about, you know, just the power of the horse. Because the size and the power of the horse is an intimidating factor, but at the same time, it represents love, unconditional love. And so as somebody first feels their fears towards the animal, and then they're loved by the animal, then that's the start of the healing process. In fact, I was just reading an article that I'll have to send to you that was on ABC News about some vets that have discovered the same thing. I think it's down in Texas where they're doing some work with horses and PTSD and vets. And, I mean, they got it. They understand what's going on between the horse and the human.
Yeah. There's another place here in California. I think it's in Poway, Bill. That's doing that, too, the last I heard.
No, Phil, that's a carousel. Not real horses.
No. There's a guy out there.
I know what you mean.
There's a guy out there on the backside where all those farms are.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing, I heard.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess
you
he
know
read
that
it on the... Go ahead.
When I lived in Indiana, I traveled to a little town called Elkhart, and there's horses there. The stable's called Loveway Stable. And I didn't work with vets. I worked with children with disabilities. And we went in there, cleaned the stables, brushed down the horses. I mean, you name it, we did whatever. Because you had to, like, work your way up to actually riding the animal. You had to, like, learn to adjust to be around the animal, et cetera. But when the moment comes, when the child has earned the privilege or the right, whatever you want to call it, to mount that horse, there's a bond there. You can't describe it in words. You have to see it with your own two eyes. And we used to work with this big, I call them Budweiser horses, you know, those big, gigantic horses.
Clydesdales.
They had one retired at the stable. Now, he was so smart. He knew that every time my car pulled up, he'd come down all the way to the fence line because I had peppermints in my pocket. They love those little red and white peppermints. That horse would walk with me and the girl I used to bring there all the way up the roadway. He'd follow his way into the stable, and there he was waiting for us. They understand people. There's something, a bond between a horse and a human that you just cannot break. And, you know, it'd be great to have more stables do this with, you know, the veterans that are coming home. I mean, everybody on this panel knows my daughter's in the Army. She's military, and she has friends that are fighting overseas, and they've come back, and they have some big stuff, some big weight on their chest, because these are young kids. And I think that the whole country should get involved with it, because there's so many horses that can be retired to do a better purpose. And, you know, this is a wonderful thing that you know, starting out.
It really works. It works very, very, very well. Horses are like big dogs. You know, they started off this equine. It's called equine facilitated psychotherapy, if you want the babble words for it. Started off in the mid 1990s. Started working with handicapped kids, cerebral palsy kids, and other handicapped, developmentally disabled kids. And now it's finally transitioning into where we're seeing the value of using it with PTSD, depression, and anxiety, those kind of disorders, the mental disorders, because those are all rooted in fear. And the animal, because they are so big, brings on the fear, but at the same time, the animal brings on the unconditional love, and that's what, you know, the people attached to. And so they start, the humans start making the connection between that love fear triangle, if you want to call it. And that just helps them recover from you know, their depression or whatever it is. I think we're going to see more and more of it. I think you've seen all the, what's happened in the military with the dogs, even in, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan, how they've been a help to people. And because of the size of the horse, I think that is really a contributing factor, because people are allowed to bond with and create a nonverbal relationship with this huge animal that weighs 1,000 pounds or better. And like in the case of your Clydesdale, they're up around 2,000 pounds. So they're a ton of walking flesh. But we've had since the last time I was on the radio show with you guys, we've had some amazing things happen with clients. Just amazing stuff. Young girls that teenagers that have suffered from some PTSD through, sexual abuse situations have just done some absolutely amazing things. That I've been doing this for 31 years and I've never seen anything like it. It's pretty fantastic. So we're just hoping that the biker community, the veterans that are on bikes that are in Colorado or Southern Wyoming or what have you out here, will come to our poker run, our Iron Horse run that we're having.
Have you had anybody ride out to the base that you know that's on active duty and put that up
on
your bulletin?
Oh, active duty? No, I have not.
Anybody that's a reservist or anything like that? Or
I've had some reservists. I've had quite a few retired vets.
Yeah, or you could go to the recruiter's office and do the same thing.
Yeah,
They can get you. They can get you in touch with the person on the base that you just give them all the information, and they'll make out a bulletin and hand it out to all the.
At the recruiter's office, gotta be careful what you sign.
Yeah, that's
remember
true.
That? Okay, be careful now.
That's the last time I volunteered for anything. When the guy said, raise your hand, and I raised my hand, and everybody raised their hands.
Yeah.
Who's got a driver's license? All the hands shot up. They gave us each a broom and told us to start over there and finish over there. The last time I volunteered for anything.
That's it.
You've been to MCRD, right? Hold on. You've been to MCRD, right?
Sure, I have.
Okay. You know where the grinder is, where they do all the marching and all that?
No, yeah, okay, right.
That was the same thing in South Carolina. You start over here and finish over there. Everything that doesn't grow gets picked up. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You had a veteran flashback here.
Yeah, my PTSD, STD kicked in. Go ahead, man. You're up.
Well, that was basically all that I wanted to say about that. If you've got any questions or anything, I know last time we were talking about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, how's your fundraising going?
It's going well. We've gotten incredible amount of excitement about it. I just met the last time I think we had two sponsors, and we're up to 7 sponsors already that are sponsoring the event, mostly in the oil community and the oil field businesses. There's so many veterans, so many bikers that are in the oil fields, and they're huge here in Well County in northern Colorado, northeastern Colorado.
Take advantage of our show, because again, a lot of our people the day of the event will not be able to make that run, but hopefully they can send a small check to your organization, and we've got all the information up on the screen for that. I'm hoping that the residuals the day of the run and after the run, these outside sources like ourselves and television will also give you more money on that. We sincerely hope that works out for you.
Well, that's what we're kind of hoping. This is going to be our first one, and what we're gearing up for, after we get this run completed, then this winter I'm going to spend all my energy out there, going to the recruiting centers, going to the VAs, letting people know that this is available here in Colorado.
The other thing, if you're going to go to the VA, what you could do before you call is, what do they call it, the morale and welfare recreation, I think is what they call it. If you go to the base, you want to talk to the MWR representative, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation. And that's your key into the door. And being that you're a doctor, if you go to the VA, you can also talk to the psychological or neurological guys and let them know that, hey, we're doing this. We need help. Or do you need volunteer to help? I'm pretty sure that'll open a lot of doors for you, too.
Right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm wearing a shirt. This is got the American flag. This is Cal Diego.
Paralyzed Vets.
And it's Paralyzed Vets. Philip and I work with them an awful lot. Did we talk about last time about your facilities that Paralyzed Vets can come out and get involved or observe what's going on? Can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Most of the stuff we're doing is all on the ground.
Right.
And so I have no problem doing this stuff with guys that are in chairs, with guys that are on crutches. The animals that I'm using have been around human beings we've been doing this, and they've all been raised by me from foals, and we've been doing this for about 13 years. So I don't do the riding part of the equine therapy. I found that in what I'm doing, in helping people understand their disabilities, their PTSD, anxiety, et cetera, that all of this can be done on the ground.
Right.
And
it,
a lot of it is just the nurturing.
Yeah, that's what I did, man.
And
not the horses, but actually being out there and riding the wheelchair up the side of the fence and being around the horses. You are comfortable with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, what we're planning through some grant writing projects that we're going to start here this year, is putting together a bed and breakfast for so that we can, so these people can come in and spend a weekend with us, you know, so they could fly into Denver and come up to Greeley. We're about 50, 60 miles north of Denver, and spend a weekend with us in the horses and just build a relationship with the horse, because that's where most of the healing takes place, is knowing this huge animal cares about them.
They ask you a question. You got the ride coming up, and I've not been out there. From your ranch to the nearest hotel/motel, how far is that, give or take?
Probably 3 miles.
I would like to request you to contact the nearest hotel and ask them, can you let people coming in from town know that this hotel or motel is available? And if so, if you get them on the flyer, and I don't know if the small hotel's got a small electric board or something with that, but maybe as they're going out to the event, they can be driving by the hotel motel and have welcome equestrian riders or lovers of animals or welcome motorcycle or something like to do with that. But have the hotel, see if you can get the riders coming out now, let them know there is a place for them to sleep. So they don't have to go out there, look around, say, what can I do, what can I do? No, they can in advance get this hotel room, and maybe they might kick a little bit towards your way on that too, besides the great publicity.
Sure, I can do that, and you can give anybody that wants to that wants to come out here from out of state, you can give them my phone number, and I think I've given it to, I think you have it on your blog site.
Right.
Just call me. I'll help them make arrangements.
There we go.
If not, we'll find somebody they can stay with.
Perfect.
I mean, we have a real, I'm building a herd of humans along with having a herd of horses, and my herd of humans are just an incredible bunch of folks that, are just full of love and full of unconditional love for other human beings.
I would like to, besides the local hotel that you can find, to talk to a couple different restaurants and say, I'd like to bring a lot of people coming in. Would you mind if they come down here to eat? And then maybe have the restaurants put in the windows, welcome riders, blah, 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 blah.
Kick a little bit back.
Yeah.
10% off, and then depending on how much they sell or whatever, they kick back the 10% to the
And church. What you're doing also, you're locking in the Chamber of Commerce now, because you're saying, wait a minute now, these guys are getting involved with the hotels, they're getting involved with the restaurants. So this is all, you're trying to build a complete package deal. So when I go to Colorado, I know I got a hotel to get away from it for a little bit there. I can go sit down and have a nice meal. This is what a lot of people go in for the first time. They need to know so they're comfortable. So may I suggest that to you?
Well, do you know where about where Greeley is? Do you know where Denver is in Colorado?
Yes, of course.
And do you know where Fort Collins is?
Yes.
Fort Collins is, okay, we're about 25 miles east of Fort Collins.
I've not been to Greeley yet. On my way to Sturgis, I go to the Washington Tunnel, I go through Vail, Aspen, I drop down to Denver, then I turn left, I start going up to Sturgis, so Denver's one of my regular stops.
You go up I-25, up to
I don't
Wyoming,
mind the roads now,
Sturgis,
but yeah.
And Greeley is just maybe 25 miles east of the Loveland Fort Collins exit.
Okay.
There's a triangle of three cities here that, and we're kind of the eastern one, but we're not, we're about 50 miles south of Cheyenne, and about 60 miles north of Denver, and about 25 miles east of Fort Collins.
You know, when
it's
you're talking
about farming,
when I'm talking about the hotels, I'm talking about a restaurant. I would really be remiss if I didn't ask you to contact the local Chamber of Commerce. How can I get involved? How can I help you? Please, a suggestion is extend an invitation to the mayor. Have the mayor come out there. That maybe even ask the local fire department, could they bring a big truck out there just on display when the people are going out there? It's good PR for the fire department. It's good PR for the mayor to say a few nice words and all that. Hooking up with the Chamber of Commerce really solidifies you in this city for future expansion.
Sure. Yeah, we've got our poker run is going to be, besides the motorcycle part of it, the poker run part, we're having a free concert. We've got a petting zoo for the kids that come. We've got some of those bouncy houses. We're going to have, I've got a bunch of veterans that are artists that are going to bring their artwork and stuff and sell. A bunch of other people that are bringing their wares to sell. We've got a barbecue. So we're going to kind of have an afternoon of fun. And hopefully it'll be a family kind of thing. So grandma and grandpa can bring the kids out to the horses first while, you know, mom and dad are on their motorcycles. You know, it's about a 74-mile ride they're going to do before they hit the horses.
Mm-hmm.
There's four stops before they hit the horses. And then they'll stop and there'll be a concert going on and a barbecue and whatever other kind of fun we can come up with.
I think I mentioned last time about my concerns about the stops having alcohol.
Yeah.
I hope you can work that, because when we find out that we have alcohol at stops, people stay too long at the stops. So
you may just
want to have a beer or two only and push them on. I don't mind people drinking the final stop. It's just in the past, Philip and I have found that we have people spend a half hour, 45 minutes at the...
Slamming them.
So by the time they even get to the event, many of them go home.
Yeah.
I'll just stay here, what the hell. So we're really, Philip and I are against alcohol on the way. However, again, for the final destination and all that, I'm not against alcohol. We just have lost too many people that just say, oh, Bill, I was going to go, but by the third or fourth stop, I had too much in me already. I just didn't want to go any further, so... Again, merely suggestion.
I took that suggestion to heart. I think probably at this point in time, I know definitely when we do this again next year, we'll probably do some non-alcohol stops because we hadn't thought it. I've never done one of these before, and the people that kind of put it together have all, you know, they've ever done is the alcohol stops. And we didn't think about that, so I really appreciate what you guys were telling us, and hopefully this is not our last one that we have, because I think this is really bringing the Iron Horse community together with the Real Horse community, you know, kind
have
of
you,
metaphorically.
Picked up a good release of liability form. I hope you're going to have everyone sign that, especially with the advent of having the alcohol, because you don't want a negative program getting yourself involved. I went on that run. I was drinking heavy, blah, blah, blah. I hope you'll take a good look at a very decent, ironclad release of liability form. Anybody going to this event cannot hold you liable for their actions at all.
Yeah. Okay. If you have any good ones, I would appreciate you share it with me. If you have a copy of a good one, you've got my email address, just email it to me, because I've not been able to find one. You know, I haven't seen any really good ones. I have really good liability forms around the horses, obviously, but I've not seen one that pertains just to the ride.
Well, basically, if you guys know an attorney and you give him the one you use for the horses,
he can modify.
He can tweak it a little bit to make it work for you.
Yeah.
Everybody has to have a separate form. You can have one form and everybody sign it.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with that. So it's not a matter of a bunch of paperwork being spent here at all. One form, everybody sign it, please read it, blah, 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 blah. This prevents you from getting tripped up on something, yeah. And again, I people say, well...
I mean, if you got one for liability on the horses when people ride the horse...
Yeah. It's a basic thing, you just
change the horse to a motorcycle. Mm.
Philip and I just came back from Mexico 3 weeks ago. We had about 300 bikes in our little group, went down there, and those other groups went down together. We had a liability signed for across the border so that the people we're working with could not be taken to court. In this world that we live in, you have to dot the I's and cross the T's. It's just through the beast these days, my brother. I hate to sound like I'm old, I'm your grandmother hounding on you, but I really like what you're doing. I really hope that whatever tiny bit of advice we can give you will make your run more successful.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, you guys have been so helpful. You know, the last time I was on, and it just have been it's been fantastic because, I mean, I'm a therapist. I don't know anything about motorcycle runs other than, you know, I know enough to be dangerous to know what they're all about. But putting one on, it's been kind of like, luckily I've got some people that have done it before.
And of
Mike,
course,
and Ryan's been giving us advice, and Thomas up in Cheyenne, and a couple people here in Greeley. So,
can I stop you for a second? We got a couple of callers that may have a few questions on you.
Okay. Ryan's in the queue, and Eunice is in the queue, but we got a caller from Utah.
435-215. Tell us who you are. What city are you calling from, please?
St. George, Utah.
And your name, please?
Lindsay Carter.
Oh, okay. Do you have any questions for our guest tonight talking about the wonderful work he's doing with the horses and the rehabbing?
I don't know.
Well, did you want to ask a question to Phil or I about something,
or did you just want to listen in?
We don't want to embarrass you. We want you to be comfortable.
I just barely started listening, so I haven't really heard all of you guys' conversation.
Okay, well let's listen for a little bit.
We'll come back to you.
All right, you can ask any questions you want if you want. Let's get back to what do we got? What we got?
We got Ryan.
Let's do what Ryan's doing
Ryan
real quick.
Ryan and Eunice.
970-978.
Hey guys, it's Ryan in Colorado. How's everybody doing?
We're doing fine. Do you have any questions for our guest tonight, sir?
I think
the horse was.
We were actually in touch earlier today, talking about getting some models together out to his facility. So we're going to try to get that rolling. Try to get some good-looking gals out there promoting for him.
And you were on hold, we were talking about the importance of a release of liability form. And you do models, you have to have a good release of liability form. There's a release of liability working with the horses, but he's going to have to tweak it a little bit to do the bike run. Maybe you can show him your release of liability, and maybe between the two we can put something together, perhaps.
Absolutely. In fact, I've got one that I've made up that is the poker hand on one side, and it leaves room for the map and the location. And then on the flip side of it is also a copy of the release and liability. So people can sign that. They keep it with them, and they also can turn it in at the end when they turn their hand in, and then you've got all of those copies. That way they have no choice but to take one. But I've also got some other styles. I'd be more than happy to show all of them to him, and whatever you guys think works best, we can run with that.
That would be fantastic, Ryan.
Okay. Well, I'm sitting at the computer. I will go through here, locate them, and I'll send you some links, and you can have your attorney look at them and see what they think is best for your occasion.
Okay. That works for me.
Okay. So, and then I had Lindsay call in as well. That was her you were speaking with just a minute ago. Lining up a shoot with her in September. So, hoping to get her to introduce herself and tell you guys a little bit, but I don't want to steal the show from Rich.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm here for the duration or whatever you guys want. So, I'll be calling in pretty frequently from now on. I really enjoy this.
Well, good deal.
And we didn't even pay that guy, Bill.
I have to say, we've not met in person, but the work you're doing with the horse and the veterans, I say this an awful lot when I meet the right people. To you, message is more important than the messenger. That's how I feel from talking to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It's been so rewarding to watch the healing that goes on. It's worth more than the money and what we're doing is we don't charge a dime for our services. If people want to come experience the healing of horses, it's absolutely 100% free. If they choose to donate something, wonderful, but they don't have to.
We have Eunice on the phone. And Eunice, did you want to jump in and ask any questions to the horse whisperer?
Well, something I know people back in Massachusetts here that uses horses with the mentally retarded children. And they just bond with them so much, it's amazing what therapy does for the children back here with horses. And I think that's a great asset for our children, really. And, you know, you just keep on doing what you're doing, and we really appreciate that. I know I do.
Thank you very much.
It's I don't know if you work with the children, but that it's a heartwarming feeling when you do. And I do a lot of Special Olympics because I have a nephew who is retarded, and but a great artist, you know. What they lack in one thing, they pick up in another. And he was petrified to get near horses, and now he just loves them. He just loves it. We finally got him to, you know, the therapist who was doing this with horses. It took probably about 2 months to get Robert to get near a horse, but now he goes really crazy when he sees him. He thinks every horse is a good horse, you know. So, but it's a wonderful thing. Yeah, it really is, you know. And if people haven't seen that working, I mean, I've seen it with children working, so, you know, and I really appreciate that. But, you know, you just keep on doing what you're doing. And
well, thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, well, I'm going to keep doing this until the day I die.
There you go. That's why I said the message is more important than the messenger. I appreciate
what
you think.
Yeah,
sure is.
And, of course, we got to give a lot of kudos to Ryan because Ryan's helping every major organization he can. But more than that, he's helping people out. He's giving them, he's improving their self-esteem. I don't have a portfolio on myself. I would think that would be a wonderful thought, not for my own ego, but to keep that so my grandchildren later coming down the road, because, oh, this is what Grandpa looked like. You know, old guy and all that. And then for the young people that want to, team, I like what Ryan's doing there too, you know. I'm one of the good guys.
Well, I appreciate that.
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Hanging in there.
Cool.
Bill, how are you?
Sure, beats the alternative.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Eunice.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Just hanging
Everybody's
in there.
Everybody's hanging in okay, boys and girls.
Wait, I'm going to say hi to Ryan.
Hello?
Hi,
Ryan, they're saying hello to you. Did you catch that?
I did. I couldn't hear who that is. Is that Nora?
No, it's Stacy.
Stacy, how are you doing? Sorry, my phone's kind of cutting out.
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. We've had some great weather out here. Been trying to get somebody out here every time it rains to do a shoot, and we just can't make it happen. But now we finally got some nice weather, and, you know, I love it.
Awesome.
So, now all we have to do, Ryan, is get the shoot done with the horses.
I know it. Yep. So what, if you've ever had to plan, I mean, those of you that are married know what it's like to have to plan for one female to do something. Now, you take that and you magnify it by 10 or 15 that you have to show up at the same time. There's a reason I'm bald. I don't just shave my head to make myself look sexier. It's brutal trying to organize multiple women for one location. So we are working on that, and we'll make that one happen. So we've just got to figure out the best schedule to
make everybody get there. Hold on for a second. We're having a lot of feedback. Eunice, can you turn your sound down? We think it's you that's giving us all the reverbs and all that crap.
Okay, let me see.
What do we
think?
That
better?
What do we got? Sound good? Much gooder.
Oh, much gooder? Okay.
Much gooder.
I'm sorry.
I've got a great education. I don't want to waste it.
Good.
Hey, Eunice, is it cold where you're at? Because it's cold down here on the shoreline. I'm freezing.
It's
sitting outside.
It's really nice. It really is nice today. I met with the bishop today, and he's on his way down to Rhode Island, so they're going on a retreat, 12 bishops, heading down to Rhode Island, so watch that. But he heard that I was going to have some surgery, so he called and had me come in this afternoon so he could do a healing mass over me, you know. And he assured me that the man upstairs didn't want me yet, so.
No, you still got a lot more work to do.
Well, I told him, you know, hey, I think that's great, but
God's not done with you yet, little girl.
Well, you know, I'm just crossing my T's and dotting my I's and making sure everything's okay. And I am going to be having the surgery next week instead of going to Boston. I can't wait 5 to 6 weeks. I'll drive myself crazy. So I'm going to have it done here. And it's going to be done next week. So just get it done and over with. And
well,
you know,
we'll all be praying for you, that's for sure.
Well, hey, I need all the prayers in the world, you know, so never refuse a prayer, believe me.
There we go.
And I'm thankful every day that I get up that I'm still alive. And that's what you got to do. You got to be thankful for everything in your life, so that's what I do.
You guys know my, I'm in great health, thank God. My wife is very bad health. My doctor, my wife's doctor says, Bill, stop looking at yesterday and last week. Appreciate what your wife has today. She will not be that strong tomorrow. She will not be that strong next week. Whatever she can do today, take her for a walk, take her down the street. Appreciate today. Stop comparing it to yesterday, and there is no guarantee for tomorrow.
Right. You know, one thing my husband does, and I never really appreciated it, Bill, until, you know, I become, you know, sick. I mean, I've been sick for 6 months, and he'll get up and he'll come into my room and say, Eunice, it's beautiful out there today. It's absolutely beautiful, you know. And I never looked at things totally different, you know. But that's what you got to do, you know. I mean, the day you're born, Bill, is the day God marks the day you're going to die, and only he knows that. So you got to just appreciate what you got, and that's what I'm trying
to
do.
A lot of people say to me, and they come up to me and say, Bill, you're out there, you've got models around you all the time, where you're doing Easy Rider magazine shoots, you do everything, and yet you take care of your wife 100%. Bill, why do you do that? And I tell people, if you go into a marriage, you've got to give it 100%. There's no guarantee which one of you is going to be handicapped. There's no idea. Well, you have no idea what's going to happen. If there are two of you, you play the cards out. Because it is so easy to divorce and start over with somebody else, it's hard to maintain what you got. But if you went into this together, they ride it out to the end together. And that's how I feel about that stuff.
Yeah, and you have to do that, Bill. I mean, it's, you know, people think, especially the young children. I'm talking my daughter. She's 50. You know, 49 and 50. They went into their marriage saying, "Oh, if it doesn't work, we can get into a divorce." We, Paul and I, went into this marriage, and it was a commitment to God, a commitment to myself, and a commitment to Him that this marriage, you know, was forever. And it's a sad thing that people don't have that commitment in a marriage anymore. When the tough gets tough, they screw. And
they don't have commitment in family, period. I mean, small case scenario, me, a year ago, right now, my mom became a paraplegic. And me and my brother did everything we could to get her home. And we got her home within 6 months. We modified the house. I'm here 24/7. I gave up what I do. I came home. I left my apartment. I mean, everything. And it's the one thing that I stand firm on, because people will ask me, how do you deal with it? How do you do it? And I say to them, I'm giving back what was given to me for all the years that I grew up in this house. You know,
I remember
we're talking about humans staying together. Let me ask our horse expert, do horses stay together, or do they have what a horse relationship?
Horses act more like a community, and you know, actually it's kind of funny that the alpha mare runs the herd.
Okay.
The female alpha mare runs the herd, and the stallions are kept around for breeding purposes and kept around for protection. They're kept outside the herd until it's breeding time.
But then does the herd traditionally stay together if it was a healthy open? Does the herd pretty much always stay together without designating mom and pop and all that? I mean, do they stay together as a family unit, or do they separate and come back or something like that? How does that work out, brother?
I think from my understanding, they stay together. Now, what I've got 16 horses. Obviously, I have to keep the three stallions that I have penned up separately because it can be kind of a violent thing if you get three stallions together. They kill each other because they all want to be the head stallion. But the herd that I have is 13 mares and geldings, and they are work as a community. There's four geldings and the rest of them, there are nine mares, and they will work and operate like a community. And they operate like we're supposed to as humans. They're protective, they're comforting, they communicate, they guard each other. They behave in a way that probably we did as a family unit maybe 20, 30, 50 years ago, or as a community maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago.
Let me ask you this. If a snake were to come into the corral, and we're talking about the dominant female, we have the stallions over here, would they all just kind of put the distance, or would one of the horses actually come up to try to kill a snake or try to push a snake away? Is there a section where one horse steps up? Can you explain that a little bit?
I think that probably one of either the alpha gelding or the alpha mare would probably do something. Snakes are kind of a funny thing. They're curious. The animals are curious about snakes. What I can tell you is one experience that this happened in 2003. We had a horrible blizzard, and one of my mares was a foal was born in the middle of this blizzard, and when we finally got out through the snowdrifts and everything to get to the farm, I wanted to make sure I went and found the afterbirth of the placenta to make sure that it was whole, that part of it didn't get retained in the mare's body, because that can kill a mare. It can cause a horrible infection and kill them. Well, as I was wandering around the snow-covered fields of northern Colorado to, probably 100 yards away from where the foal was where the mare had the foal, I found a dead coyote. The horses had killed a coyote. The coyote had got too close to the herd, and obviously too close to this young foal. So somebody went out there, one of them or two of them or three of them went out there and kicked this coyote down.
It's odd. Our love of animals. Do you remember the movie Hidalgo, where they got the cowboys raced across the Arab desert? Remember that movie?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
When the horse fell into the trap and the bamboo spikes were in there, I felt so, pain. I felt so sorry for the horse. Scene later, we had a couple guys being killed and all that. I didn't give a damn. I didn't feel, but the horse being there in pain, that is the part that absolutely... And then also, if I can change subject, remember the movie War Horse, when the horse ran into the chain or the barbed wire fence? My God, my heart went out to that because I felt we should do something. And yet people were dying all around. So I think all of us really, even though the horses are so big and huge, there is a special softness, I think, for all our animals.
If you look at the horse, how many centuries, how far back into biblical times did the horses go? I mean, they were the Abram's tank of the time period. Back in when they, the Egyptian chariots, and then, the horses were the breed of horses that we have, which are called trotainers, were bred. They're a warm blood. Now they don't have warm blood, but they're in the horse world they call them warm bloods, which is a cross between draft horse, Arabians, and thoroughbreds. And the cold-blooded horses, even though their blood's not cold, are the draft breeds, and the hot bloods are the Arabian and thoroughbreds. And so back in the horse that our breed, which is called the Turkaner, was bred by the Russian Tsar 500 years ago, and they came out of East Prussia, and they were bred to be war horses. They were bred because they needed a horse that was faster, more agile, more athletic than a draft horse, but yet had the bone mass and the stamina and the size to pull cannon and cart. And that was, you know, if you look at history, it was you know, after, you know, the knights in shining armor and around about the time when cannons and gunpowder came into the military. And if you think about it, horses were part of our military until after World War One.
Sure. Well, actually, World War II, the beginning, the Nazis yep. used a lot of horses pulling the cannons and still. And don't forget, when Hitler attacked Poland sent its finest cavalry out to fight the German tanks. Beautiful cavalry, beautiful horses. So they kept around sometime after that.
During the heyday of it, they were the Abrams tank of the time period. They've been a man's protector for God knows how many centuries. I think that's why there's so much healing power. You talk to Native Americans, you know, the real true horse whisperer on this planet. And you talk to them about the relationship that they have with a horse. And, you know, it's just phenomenal. So I can understand from all the history and from all of that why they become such great therapy animals. And now I totally understand, why they work with treating, you know, some of the mental disorders like PTSD and depression and so on. It's just a phenomenal thing to watch. Just like I think I said, I talked about last time, we had a Marine who was 100% disabled because of PTSD. He was blown up in a Humvee, didn't lose any limbs, you know, had some injuries, but he didn't lose any arms and legs, but he was 100% disabled. When he came out to the horses a few weeks ago, he didn't talk, he didn't say hardly anything, he was somewhat catatonic. After an hour of hugging and brushing and leading the horse and just becoming the friend of the horse, it gave him permission to become the friend of the rest of us humans. And he opened up and talked and was quite a different human being after that relationship with the horse. And it was almost like the horse gave him permission to be himself.
See, that's what I was going to say, and I didn't want to interrupt you. The horse doesn't ask for anything back from a human being. When a human being shows any kind of tenderness, you know, the horse will give them all.
Yeah.
Don't you believe that? They give them all.
All of us that have dogs understand how unconditionally loving a dog is. Well, a horse is a 1,000-pound animal that does the same thing.
That's right.
If you can imagine a horse that's that big and it's somewhat scary and intimidating, but on the flip side is a very loving animal and wants to be a friend of the human and will do all kinds of things to pull that human into the herd or pull that human into a relationship, then I don't know what more there is to describing unconditional love.
Isn't that sad that we have lost that kind of unconditional love with children in the new era of children that are coming up in this world? They think love is material things, and shame on us that we never really taught them what real love is really about, you know.
Yep. Several weeks ago, I had a little boy. He wasn't a little boy. He was about 14 years old, but he was tiny because he had cerebral palsy. And he was in a wheelchair.
It's all that banging.
He was in
a
wheelchair.
Hear that banging, Bill?
Yeah, we can hear that. We're trying to figure out which person that's coming from. We can't decide. It's stopped for some reason.
Okay.
Somebody's beating their kid, though, you know. That's all right. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not beating the horse. That's the point here, you know.
No, it wasn't
beat the kids, okay.
Kid.
Don't beat the horses. That's the point there.
But,
so about
But we had a young man in a wheelchair. He had cerebral palsy, and he couldn't communicate. He was pretty severely palsied. He came out, and we took him in with the horses in his chair. And our 28-year-old Arabian mare really liked this little boy and just came over and put her head on his shoulder and just the big doe eyes and just the soft velvety nose that this boy could touch. It was just quite amazing thing that just the reaction of this boy that had CP, how he reacted to that huge horse, which was,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you can imagine him sitting in a chair and then having this horse come up to him. But it was just remarkable, the connection, the nonverbal connection that was made between the two of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the healing power.
Yeah, that I've seen that, and it's so compassionate, and it's so warm. You know, you get that warm feeling of that you very seldom get. You know, I mean, it because the compassion is there, and you see that. You know, and you don't have to say a word. A word's not even spoken between an animal and a child.
I would love to see.
Child.
I don't know if they're. Well, when a horse does right away like a person, I would wonder if any of the universities can do testing on the horse's brains and all that to find out, are the brains changing, reacting, anything like that when the horse opens up to a person? When the horse right away likes this person or recognizes this person, I wonder if they could do testing to find out what chemical changes are going inside the horse. Horses cannot speak, obviously, but I was wondering.
Right.
I wonder if that'd be kind of awful interesting. Trying to put stuff on check Phil's brain out. It's not working. It's not working. No.
Ryan, you have horses. What's your experience with them?
What I've got out here is quarter horses and a couple ponies of America. It's kind of hard telling. Most of the horses I have out here were abused at one point or another. So they're almost like rescue horses. So they've been fairly skittish, just barely green broke. Most of them have some sort of an issue where they're not really rideable. So, you know, I really haven't had a whole lot of experience as far as any bonding or things like that. So I'm not really sure what to tell you.
Okay.
You know, I want to point out, I want to say something, ask a question, anybody jump in. I like horses. I don't have any desire to ride them. I'd like to feed them, pet them, you know, brush them or whatever. Do you think it's just me or is there other people out there can appreciate horses without the need to, I want to ride the horse? Anybody want to comment on that?
My wife doesn't ride.
I did when I was working at Loveway in Indiana. I had no desire to get on any of them horses, but I had every desire in the world to just kind of chill with them. To learn about them and habits, you know, but I had no, I didn't want to get on top of one.
My brother Mike Kennedy and his wife, they have horses. They enjoy riding the horses. I go out to visit them all the time. I'm just content to go down to the pen and, you know, give them a carrot, talk to them, pet them, kind of spend a little time with them. And I'm very happy doing that. And he keeps saying, let's go for a ride. I'm not afraid of any horses. It doesn't seem to, I don't have no desire, I guess. And again, I'm not afraid of the horses. I can be inside with them and all that. If I'm not careful, step on my foot, obviously. But I don't know why some humans, I thought it was just me for a long time. I like horses. I just don't want to put a saddle on them and let's just go riding through the mountains or something.
I know. I think that's perfectly okay. My wife doesn't ride.
Uh-huh.
She's ridden, and she got hurt. She got thrown off a horse and got hurt, and so she's scared to get back on. You know, a lot of people give us a lot of static because we don't, you know, our horses are all green broke, and a couple of them are finished broke. But we don't ride them. We don't let people ride them. We don't have insurance, that, you know, on the to be able to ride them because that's not their job. And we catch a lot of static from people about, well, horses need a job. They need to ride. Well, no, they don't.
Yeah.
You know, horses can be have a job by just being compassionate with people, by working with people, you know, which our guys, that's what they do. That's their job. And they enjoy it. They look forward to every Saturday when I bring a bunch of people out to the horses and do therapy with them. They love it.
My question is, I have a bull mast. Do you have any animals at your farm out there, dogs or cats or anything that kind of interact with the horses?
We've got a couple of the ladies bring, a couple of my volunteers bring their dogs, and it's really funny to watch the dogs and the horses play.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs, the dogs try to get the horses to play, you know, to play tag with them, so to speak. Or the dog will get a stick in its mouth and want the horse to chase it around the pen, and the horses will sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we've had a dog that will chase the horses and jump in the water tank when the horse is sitting in there drinking water, just to fool with the horse's head. You know, so and the horses love it. They like that kind of interaction.
About cats, you have any cats come out there at all, or cats afraid of horses, or?
The cats that we have around, you know, that I've seen around our place are all feral cats. They're not, you know, none of the neighbors or anything have cats. And we don't live on our property. We don't have cats there. But I'm sure I have had, you know, at another facility when we lived in Fort Collins, we had cats, and I remember the cat would curl up in between the legs of a foal. We had a cat, and horses are a prey animal, meaning that. They have an instinct to be careful of predators, and a horse can see maybe half a mile to three quarters of a mile away, maybe even longer. And so if they see something that has eyes in front of their head, then even human beings, we all look like prey animals because your prey animals have their eyes in front of their heads. And so the first thing a horse does is you know, wants to find out if this animal is it friendly or is it a foe, and including the human.
That was quite interesting.
What
you said. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? You said they have the eyes in the front of their head, and
or if you look at a dog, or if you look at humans, or you look at your predators.
Okay, go ahead.
Predators typically have their eyes in the front of their head, or for the front part of their head. They're we're binocular, okay? Where horses and other prey animals have their eyes on the side of their head. Horses don't see binocularly. They have to turn their head one way or the other to see. They can't see with both eyes looking forward. They have a blind spot right in front of them. You know, there's two blind spots on a horse, right behind him and right in front of him. That's why you don't want to stand directly behind a horse because he can't see you. And if you scare him, they'll kick. And you don't want to be right in front of them because they can't see either. Because they can't see binocularly, if that makes any sense. And so when a horse sees an animal with his eyes towards the front of their head, the first thing that pops in their brain is predator. And so they're going to check out the animal that has the eyes in front of their head, including human beings.
And that's just generational instinct, right?
That's just instinct, sure. Now, with my horses, because we have hand-raised and raised every one of them from babies, From the minute they hit the ground, we were touching them, we were fondling them, we were putting our finger in every orifice on their body so that they got that, it's the same thing that you do when babies are born. You want that you know, that bonding process. So we did that with every one of our babies that were born. We touched them and played with them and dried them off, and, you know, so they're just totally connected with human beings. And that's part of the reason that this herd works so well with other humans, is they're not afraid of humans. They don't have an instinctual fear of us because they've been, you know, they've been raised in a human herd, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And as they're raised in the herd over time, they form that bond with whoever's in that area, correct?
Correct. And so if I bring out a vet, for instance, like this Marine that was out there a couple of weeks ago, and we put him with one of the horses, she took on to him like they were best friends, and she wanted him to be her friend. She wanted him to love her by brushing and petting and talking with her at the same time. She would love him back through, you know, just this, you know, just that nonverbal language that you know, animals have, dogs have, cats have, you know.
Don't you?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you see it more so when the horse gets closer and just takes the nose, his nose, and rubs it up to the child's face or to the child's head? You know, I feel that they can smell that person and they remember that smell.
Absolutely. And they can, they're very sensitive to our emotions.
Right.
If we're scared, they're going to be cautious.
Right.
If we're calm, they're going to be calm. So it becomes it's a calming effect for both of us animals. When the horse gets calm, the human will calm down because obviously the horse is so much bigger.
Well, I had two incidents with dogs. When my mother was dying, we had my girlfriend across the street had a standard poodle. And the day that my mother was going into the coma, the poodle, Dolly, just kept barking and barking and barking and wanted to get out of the house. And what she did was run across the street and come in and actually took her head and laid it on my mother's bed, you know, and just stayed there. And she wouldn't leave my mother's side the whole day. My dog, Patrick, he was like 9 months old, and I had come down with bronchitis. And I got into a coughing spree, and I must have passed out because Patrick kept nipping my face with his teeth to get me to wake up again. And it's amazing how they just know, and not just dogs, but, you know, horses. It's amazing. They just can sense it. They can just sense something is wrong. You know?
Oh, yeah. When I'm out with a bunch of humans in the herd of horses, I can watch the horses, and the horses will pretty much tell me what's going on with each and every one of the humans.
Yeah, definitely.
Just watching the horse's behavior, and the horse will always try to nurture and get the human to become part of that herd, become part of their herd.
Yeah, it just amazes me. I mean, it really does. When you sit down and you think and you see these things, you know.
There's some institutions that are finally going to start doing some research. In fact, we may try to be part of a research project to figure out why the horse is really, you know, why there's so much healing power in the horse. Why is a horse healing humans with PTSD and depression and so on? I think I know why. But, you know, there needs to be a bunch of research because it does really work.
Well, they're doing that with dogs now, you know. They're bringing dogs into the hospitals. And I mean, they have to be certified to do this. But they're bringing a lot of dogs into the hospitals to very, very ill people and also into the nursing homes for the elderly. And it's amazing how they just bond with these dogs. And you can give these dogs 100 people and he'll remember every one of them.
Yeah, they're even doing
amazing.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I've seen that. I mean, I was in the hospital last week, and there was a woman coming in with it was a big poodle, a standard poodle, and there was a man in a private room, and we were asking why she kept going back and forth, but this man, when he stopped breathing, this dog, you know, stayed with him 24 hours, would get up on his chest and pound on his chest to get his heart starting to beat again. I mean, it was amazing. I just couldn't believe it, you know. It's and they do that. And this dog was trained to do this for this particular man, you know.
Well, our prison system here in Colorado, they use both horses and dogs. The prisons down in Canyon City train horses and train some of the Mustangs, some of the wild horses. And then we've got another prison in Sterling, out east, northeast Colorado, that has that trains dogs. And the dogs, not only work with, the elderly and the patients, but also working with prisoners. Then we're seeing, if you read the accounts of the dogs over in Afghanistan and Iraq, it's just absolutely, the stories are amazing.
Yeah. And have you ever sat back and really said to yourself, how did this all begin?
I know how it all began.
Well, I know how it has, and I know you know how it has, and I know Bill and Phil understand. But people never really sit down and say, how did this world ever start?
There has to be
somebody more powerful than anything, you know, to do this.
There was a reason that the horse was put on this planet, and I believe he was put on the planet to be a partner with the human being, both in war and in peace.
Right.
Both as a protector and a transporter of goods. But the horses have been a partner of humans for, I mean, how many thousands of years? And now I think we're finally understanding, and I think a lot of it comes from the Native Americans, we're starting to understand the healing power of a horse.
Right.
Not just the size, and I think we're starting to learn, and somebody was saying in the beginning about, you know, right now they're, you know, because of the cost of feeding horses, that so many people are getting rid of horses, and so many horses are going to slaughter and ending up in France on the dinner tables in France, that why can't we put more horses to work healing humans? Because they have such a healing power, why not, you know, do more of what I'm doing here in Greeley, you know, so that a lot of the horses don't have to go to the slaughterhouse. They can be used in a therapeutic environment.
We're giving more people with physical and mental problems, and you're right. They should utilize that.
Absolutely.
You know, it has to be done. But, you know, it takes people like yourself to bring it out. And radio shows like Phil and Bill that bring it out too, you know. If we didn't have them, we wouldn't be talking right now.
No,
may I ask why we cannot
Phil,
use
Phil and
more...
Bill, I wanna thank you from the bottom of my heart for letting me come on and
we're all together on this. We're all together on this.
Yeah, because right now
we're creating our own herd, Phil.
Yeah,
there you go.
We're creating our own herd.
What Richard's talking about is the Iron Horse Poker Run, though.
That's right.
And
it's coming up on Saturday, October the 5th, Phil.
Right. And you can join your fellow bikers for a day of fun, food, entertainment, and great prizes. It's $25 per bike, $10 per extra rider.
That's not bad. No.
Register online or on the day of the ride. For more info, check out the website, and it's www.ironhorserun.org. At 9 a.m. is the registration at the Burnout Grill.
There we go. I like that answer. You know, I want to say, you say 9 to 5 o'clock. I'd like you to consider taking a time clock, and at 4 o'clock, watch the great exodus leave to go back to the cities and all that. And perhaps next year, bring it down about 4 o'clock. For many people, 5 o'clock and then trying to travel a couple hours to get home might be a bit heavy. So 8 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, if they're all leaving the following year, cut that back to 4. I think that would, in our experience, that seems to be the big, 4 o'clock, we got to get home. It's got 2 hours yet, so that's pretty
and
good.
And if anybody's got any questions,
you
can dial Richard up at 970-573-6190.
Yeah, or you can call, let me give you my phone number. Because you can anybody that wants to talk to me personally. It's 970-302-5204.
Let's not forget the website, ironhorserun.org. Iron Horse Run, one word, boys and girls. And if you go and you don't have a good time, there's something wrong with you. We have a lot of good people, a lot of good entertainment, and you got horses. I mean, come on, that's what you want.
And you get to meet me. I'm a little short guy. We have two Facebook pages. One of them's called Colorado Therapy Horses, and the other one's called the Wounded Human Project. And then the last thing I would like to do, if it's okay, would be just to recognize some of my sponsors.
Absolutely.
The first one is Mountain States Casing Company. It's run by Eric Rodriguez here in Greeley, Colorado, and they do casing work in the oil fields. And another lady that I just met today, and she's got the most beautiful Harley three-wheeler I've ever seen in my life. She just bought a brand new one. Renee Schneider, and she has Schneider FR Clothing, and her husband's a vet. And boy, are they going to be big sponsors of what we're doing. They're already talking about contacting a whole bunch of other people to be sponsors. So if anybody's in Eaton, Colorado and needs some work gear, some work clothing like that's used on the oil in the oil fields, boy, you got to stop and see Renee. And then Northern Plains Trucking, they're a big trucking outfit that hauls water to all these oil rigs. Is one of our sponsors, and F&M Construction Service, another one. And then some dear, dear friends of mine that were the Horses Heal Felons, too, by the way, guys, because my friends Fred and Trish Nunn are my miracle children that, had they not met the horses, they may be in prison as we speak. And they're sponsors. And then the Community Hope Project, which is a philanthropist group here in Greeley, are one of our sponsors. So we're working on it, and hopefully by the next time I call in, we'll have three times as many sponsors, and this will be a gold run instead of an iron run.
I like that. You know, before we leave, there is an interesting quote by Prime Minister of England, Winston Churchill. Would you like to give us the quote, sir, or shall I read the quote for you?
You can read it. I can give it to you, but you can read it. You'll do fine.
There is something about the outside of a horse that is good for the inside of a man. And that's Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England, World War II, and on with that.
You know my name? in Irish.
Your name is Philip. I've called you Philip
that's
my whole
correct.
Life.
That's correct. But my name in Irish. Do you
horse.
Know, you know what it means?
Horse.
Lover of horses.
No, I didn't know that. No, they're just bullshit. No.
Lover of horses.
Oh, okay.
Some shit.
No, that's interesting. Now, where'd you get that quote from, by the way?
What, that Winston Churchill quote?
Quite appropriate for your, you know.
We found it someplace. I don't remember who found it. We found that in some magazine or some book or something. But Winston Churchill, I mean, you got to remember, he grew up during World War
I. Right.
And
he was in the military.
Was part of the military.
He was quite the warrior in World War I, too, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure he wasn't part of the cavalry. I would think he'd have to be. And it's probably
that must
why...
That must have been before we put all that weight on.
Yeah, it's probably why our down in Fort Carson, down in southern Colorado, that they still, it's called the First Cavalry or whatever, but they still have horses down there. I have a really good friend that was my vet here in Greeley, that's now the vet down at Fort Carson, and they still have a herd of horses that they use in ceremonies and what have you down at Fort Carson. So. You know, hopefully we'll never forget the military, the horses in the military, and maybe now is the horses are kind of returning the favor of being able to heal the wounded vets.
Phil, let me get back to you for a second. You, we were talking about the last name Hennigan,
no.
Of course.
That's go ahead.
No, go ahead. How'd you get that out of your name?
No, it's my first name.
Philip.
Not my last name.
Okay, well, that
name.
Was what I want to know.
Means lover of horses.
I didn't know that. I did not know that, yeah.
I had a picture here somewhere of my dad with a Clydesdale. Mm-hmm. He loved Clydesdales.
I have a, I'm from Ireland. We're from Galway Bay, Ireland, second generation. And our family clan, there's three helmets. And I have two brothers, Mike Kennedy, Pat Kennedy, myself, Bill Kennedy. And luckily, coincidentally, we have three helmets. And the Irish, or the Gaelic translation under it says, big ugly heads. That don't sound very romantic. Girls, I think like death before dishonor or, you know. No, big ugly heads. I don't know. Some people just get ripped. I think I got a bad rap.
You can have Ryan. Ryan can tell us about, what is it, Lindsay?
Yes, we still have Lindsay with us.
So we're going to bring Lindsay on. Everybody else, I'm going to mute.
Because we're running down on time.
Ryan and Lindsay.
All righty.
Go ahead.
Awesome. I met Lindsay through the wonderful world of Facebook. And through the course of BSing back and forth, I've decided to set up a shoot. And we're going to try to do a bike shoot. And it's going to be out by... Las Vegas, because she lives in St. George, Utah. So I'm trying to round up a kick-ass chopper. Could be a Harley, a Vulcan, a chopper, whatever. Just a really nice bike from a custom shop that we can do an article about the shop, an article about Lindsay, and we're pushing it toward a magazine. So if anybody out there has a bike in that area within even a couple hours' drive, more than one to come by and, you know, promote your business, get her on the back of a bike, and give me a chance to work with another beautiful model and help her with her portfolio a little bit.
You know, may I stop you for a second? Because I'm, as you're speaking and you're explaining to me your dilemma, I can't help but think that October the 2nd to the 8th
no.
or 10th, is not October?
No, it's October 4th through the 8th.
October the 4th through the 8th. That's Vegas Bike Week. There is... 20,000-30,000 motorcycles going to be there.
I'm sure we can hook you up.
I'm pretty sure
we
have enough people going out there for multiple motorcycles designs. And the best, most radical motorcycles in the world are going to be in Las Vegas in the 4th through the 8th.
Right.
So, Ryan, if you want to do the shoot before, but if you want to hold off a bit, everybody we know is going
to
be in Las Vegas.
You can go to Cashman Center.
Oh, my God, yeah. We've got
there's
the best bikers world display.
Yeah, you'll have the Cashman Center. And just on the first day bill is, what, about 10,000, 15,000?
Well, you can't even count them.
Spread all over Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay, and, well, maybe we'll have to shoot twice then.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of connections once we get there.
Okay. Yeah, because our initial shoot right now was slated for September. It's going to be the 16th through the 19th we're going to get together and just do a bunch of random fun stuff and, you know, kind of break the ice so we could get ready for that bike shoot. But if there's going to be bikes out there in October, I might just have to make two trips.
That might be something in there. Well, it'll get the feel of it, yeah. Now, Ryan, let me ask you this. You've met this young lady. We have a picture of her. How do you feel about what style motorcycle? You something long and radical?
Well,
her personality fit into this.
She is very petite, awesome athletic build, and she's just barely over 5 feet tall. And I really think if there was something with a pretty good rake on it, maybe a longer stand, I think that would really not only bring out the bike, but show her off. And obviously something that's got a lot of really great lines and curves because she's got both.
All right. What about colors? Is there any color she has that feel comfortable shooting?
Ask
for example,
her.
Like, let's not talk about
ask her.
What's the number up there? 435-215.
You said a number. She
jump in. Jump in. Talk to us. Are you there still?
Any color. It doesn't matter. I'm not, like, it doesn't really matter. I don't have, like, any color that I don't like, so.
Well, let me ask you this, then. Let me try to picture this here. What color hair do you have, and what type of skin complexion do you have? Are you more like a European or, you know, like Eskimo, pure white, or what is your skin tone like? What's your hair like? That would give me an idea.
I have, like, almost black hair. It's, like, the darkest brown before black. And my skin tone, I've kind of got, like, an olive tone color to me. So.
Okay. You're comfortable wearing shooting a yellow motorcycle? You comfortable shooting an orange motorcycle? Any of these colors?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good,
for
good.
Sure.
Some people do not want to wear like an orange top, or I don't want to wear a yellow top. I'm thinking about the models we go with like that. So that's always an issue. If you don't feel comfortable, that shoot won't come on as strong as possible. So as Ryan will tell you over and over, there's three things in a good shoot. Your face, your body, and the motorcycle, car, or truck that you're modeling. All three pieces have to come together like a puzzle. And if one doesn't fit comfortable, that's why I try to talk to people, what don't you like? Well, Bill, I don't want to wear pink. All right. Well, whatever it is with that, that's all stuff. And, of course, Ryan is an expert in his field. I am not a photographer. I've just been shooting magazines for a long time, but I'm not a photographer. But if you're open-minded and all that, that's tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Yeah. Totally open-minded.
Okay. Have you ridden motorcycles in the past?
I did. I grew up on a farm in a small town, and my dad actually taught us how to ride motorcycles when we were, like, three. So I've been on a motorcycle since I was 3 years old.
Have you... Do you favor American? Do you favor Asian motorcycles?
Just American.
Okay. We are open-minded.
Well, now, wait a minute. We don't discriminate.
I said we're open-minded.
As long as people...
I'm open-minded. Yeah. That doesn't really matter. I like American bikes, but...
Thank you.
I can shoot with anything.
I wouldn't own a non-American truck, car, or motorcycle. But you know what? I tell everybody, you have a right to do what you want to do.
Yep.
I'm a veteran. I went to war to defend your right to do what you want to do. So people that want to ride other vehicles, say that's fine. But I'm so right-winged, you couldn't imagine it, girl.
Well, I did send you another picture of her so you can get an idea.
We haven't had a picture. Facebook. No, I'm talking. Okay.
I just sent it to you real quick in a message.
I have a modeling page people can follow.
Oh, okay.
What's that? Give us the link.
I will put it in the chat room.
Alrighty.
We're down to the last,
a couple seconds, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, it's in the chat room. It is Lindsay Carter modeling page.
We hope you guys have a very successful shoot. And if you guys can join us in Vegas, that is going to be huge.
we could take him to that clubhouse with the movie theater.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, maybe to the Cashman Center.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the clubhouse. I don't know yet. So we'll take it to the Cashman Center. All the world best motorcycle builders will be there. There's so much stuff going on with that. You have such a plethora of choices to go with that. And you certainly
be awesome.
Covered with Ryan, because there's a gentleman and a class act right there. So that's kind of nice.
And we just got the 10-second one. So I want you guys to know, I didn't see you last night, Ryan, but we're doing Sam Crow Radio. And what it is we have people from the Sons of Anarchy on the show. And then September 10th, after the premiere, September 11th, we will have people on from the show.
The day after the TV show.
The day after we're on. And we'll be on till the end, probably till beyond and after the show. Mm-hmm. But it's called
awesome.
Sam Crow Radio. It's going to be all about the Sons of Anarchy.
Anybody that wants to call in and talk to our guest, we'll have the actors will all be there. We've got a whole list of stuff with that. So it won't be just Phil and I talking. It'll be our listeners calling up and talking to the actors of the show. Everybody seems to have a favorite actor in Sam Crow. Ryan, who's your favorite? What's your favorite character in Sam Crow?
You know, Jax is a badass. Everything he does is just pretty badass. So.
I don't know if you saw that thing Sutter put out, but Sutter said if you're pissed, I killed Opie. If you're pissed off, I'll kill Jax too.
What's your favorite character on Sons of Anarchy? Did we let Lindsay still with us?
Oh, I thought I didn't know if you were talking to me.
Character.
I've never even seen it.
Shame on you.
Oh, that's sacrilege.
That's right. What you need to do is tune in the show when it comes on, and if you have a favorite actor, we have him on, please feel free to call in. Philip's going to a run at the end of the month with all of the TV stars and all that, so,
Yeah. Well, my friends.
Well, nice thing about living in California, You don't have to be a TV star and actor. Everybody else, everybody out here. So, boys and girls, on that, I'm going to say hi to everybody. Ryan, do you want to say something else? I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just seeing if that's on every Wednesday.
The radio show will be on, Sam Crow Radio will be on every Wednesday.
And the show will be every Tuesday, starting September something. We don't know.
Hey, Ryan, if you get a chance, go listen to the archive and send me a little critique.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
We had our first guy on last time.
And, Bill, I figure I'll let you introduce this one.
Well, maybe I'll just sing a little bit. Maybe I'll sing goodbye to everybody. Or, you moved it on me. I've lost everything now. How about we ended up with Kiss calling Dr. Love. That'll take us out tonight, boys and girls, okay?
Even though Stacy went to bed already.
Well, a little Kiss, Dr. Love.
Oh, no, it didn't. It won't come up.
Oh, well.
They jacked us. So on that note, we'll say
goodnight
to everybody.
Now it's time to say goodbye.
All right,
to
good
each
night.
And all my friends.
All right.
M-I-C.
Good night, everybody.
See you soon. K-E-Y. Why? Because we love you. Good night.